Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Cody Thompson.
This was better than the first take where you got your own last name wrong.
Yeah, so that's pronounced it wrong. I said Lencioni. Okay, we've got two guests in house with us, Karen Amador and Tracy Noble. We got Matt on the computer. Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
So we have four people on this podcast because we're going to talk about something really interesting. What's it called, Cody?
What is your blind spot?
Yeah, we're going to talk about blind spots. Now, here's the irony of that title. If we knew, it wouldn't be a blind spot.
That's right.
So you don't know. But as it turns out, figuring it out is critical, and helping others figure it out is critical too. See, last week I was in the office presenting something to my team, and I was kind of frustrated at the time and a little overwhelmed. And one of my colleagues, a guy named Cody, the other Cody, no, it was you, told me that I probably wasn't aware of how part of what I was communicating came across. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't. So he explained it to me, and he did it in front of everyone, which is fine. But then he apologized, like, I hope I wasn't being too critical there. And I was like, are you kidding? Now I can explain to everybody that that's not what I intended at all. And if it ever comes across like that, let me know, because I really didn't mean it that way, mm-hmm. which was a huge relief to me. And I realized that sometimes I'm conveying something I didn't mean. And that's when it occurred to me that how much we hold back feedback from one another and how much we deprive them and our teams of the very lifeblood of improvement and understanding, and how we leave people susceptible to their blind spots. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to have blind spots. I wish we could have recorded the conversation that occurred right after that. That's what provoked this podcast, because we started talking about something called the Johari window.
That's right.
Yep.
When it was interesting, because right after that, even teeing up that conversation, we started to talk about why people do and don't give feedback. And there was even this moment as you were presenting that, and I was thinking, like, I know you don't mean it this way. You know, like, that was the part of this is I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And so when I was looking at you doing this on the whiteboard, I was like, it's coming across a different way than I imagine he intends, a little bit.
And if you did think I meant it that way, it's actually good to go, so did you mean for that to make us feel like this? Because if you did, let's have that conversation.
Totally, mm-hmm. totally. And it was that moment, this would spark the Johari window conversation, where we said, why is it? Because even me, as someone who's a good friend of yours, who's worked with you for a long time, and who's, I have a little bit more natural inclination to jump into those scenarios than others, was like, there was a moment where I was like, you know what? It's probably okay. I don't need to say this. He didn't mean it. We'll just move on. But it, like you said in the opening, it deprives people of really valuable, critical feedback that can improve how they show up.
Well, mm-hmm. exactly. And there was at least some chance that I might not have responded well.
Right.
And that goes through your mind too, like, oh, maybe he did mean it that way, and he's going to go, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Now, Tracy, so we started talking about the Johari window, something we've used years ago.
Yes.
And you confirmed, so where does the word Johari window come from?
So I guess it comes from Joseph and Harry. They are the ones that came up with this. It's a combination of their two names.
Very right.
Pretty impressive. Very clever.
It sounds fake.
It does, doesn't it? Johari. It's like, oh, it comes from the Middle Eastern mystics of the desert. Who? And it's like, no, Joe and Harry came up with it. And I love that they said, let's just call it the Johari window.
Love it.
So here's the Johari window. So imagine a 2x2 matrix. On the y-axis, which is the vertical one, if you remember from geometry, it goes, at the top is your self-aware. You know things about yourself. The upper one is, yes, I know things about myself. The bottom is, no, I'm not aware of that. The x-axis, the horizontal one, to the far right is, other people are aware of this. And to the left is, other people are not aware of it. So if you create this 2x2 matrix, the lower left is, I'm not aware of this about myself. Other people aren't aware about this. This is a mystery. Mm-hmm. This is something that is buried
it's
deep within
hidden,
our psyche.
Right?
It's hidden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows. But it's not because you're hiding it. I think this one is actually like unknown.
No, this is the unknown self.
Oh,
this
right.
is not
that's
the
right.
hidden self.
That's right.
And we all have things about us that we're not even aware of, and other people aren't either. Maybe one day on the other side of heaven, we'll be aware of those.
It's latent. It's somewhere in there, hidden in your brain. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then if you go to the top, the left top, it's like, I'm aware of this, but other people aren't. That's hidden.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things about me that I have not revealed to others or to the people I work with. So I know it, they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's wise sometimes, I suppose. The more you get to know people, the less of that there is. The upper right is, I know about it, so do they. So this is public knowledge. Mm-hmm. What is it called in the model?
Open self.
Open. The open self. This is like, yeah, you know that I have a tendency to do this. I know I have a tendency to do this. Hey, that's open. Everybody knows. It's that lower right that's so important. Mm-hmm. And that is, other people know this about me, but I don't.
Right.
This,
eeks.
You want to have an empty Johari window.
Yes.
Because when other people know things about you that you're not self-aware of, you suffer. And other people suffer because you're doing things that you're not even aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of this podcast is, what a cool thing it is when we can help one another take things out of our Johari window and push it up into that,
right?
The things that are known.
And let's face it, we all have those.
Yeah.
You know, blind spots.
Well, absolutely. It's like what you said.
It's human.
This is we've actually had people reach out and say, hey, can you record these times that you guys have had conflict, or record this and just let us listen to it? More than anything, the conversation we had around the office yesterday around this, I was like, man, if we could have captured this some way, because it was really amazing to go around all 10, you know, people that were in and out of the office there to say, hey, what was it since you started working here that someone here or we pointed out that you didn't know about yourself? And everybody had something, more than one thing.
That's right.
And so we went around the room and it was like, yeah, I got feedback. And I will say this, that we probably have a unique work environment where we're more apt to challenge people or to put feedback out there for people, where other environments maybe are not that likely.
But it's liberating.
That's the thing, is it shouldn't be that. Everyone should have the opportunity to do that.
And it's not uncomfortable or overly intense. It's actually awesome. And I'm going to use the example. We're going to go around here, but I want to use the example of Matt and Liam, our new college grads who have worked here for 5 or 6 months, have never worked anywhere else really, other than some internships. But so this is all how it goes. But both of them, we gave them feedback. And yesterday we talked about it. We said, hey, here's some things you probably didn't know about how you come across sometimes. Right? And like Matt, we said, hey, Matt, sometimes it looks like when you were in a meeting that you're disinterested. And he was like, I do not understand the extent of that. Sometimes it looks like he's zoning out and he's bored. And then we'll go, well, Matt, what do you think? And he'll have some totally on topic comment. And we're like, do you realize that it looks like you've dropped out of the conversation? He's like, I had no idea.
Right. And we've even done it real time. Where we're like, Matt, you're doing that thing where it looks like you're disinterested. Are you? And he's like, oh no, I'm totally engaged.
I'm just processing.
And I asked him about his internships. I said, you've worked a couple places, did anybody there ever, even one person, give you this feedback? And he said, no.
And he knows, as he's sitting here right here, he knows he came across that way at times. And so why didn't somebody just go, hey dude, you look like you've checked out. Oh, thanks for telling me. Liam was an interesting one. Liam's a great guy. So was Matt. Liam came across the first few times we met him as what?
Kind of goofy.
And?
Oh, arrogant.
He seemed a little cocky.
Cocky, yes. Yeah.
And it was so fun yesterday to have everybody in the office go, hey, Liam, we weren't sure if we should hire you because we thought you were kind of arrogant. And he's such a not arrogant guy.
Oh, he's not at all. Yeah, right.
He's the exact opposite.
So what a gift to tell him, sometimes you create a first impression in people that looks like you're all that.
Mm-hmm. I actually started to question your judgment in him when you hired him. I did. I'm like, oh my gosh, humble, hungry, smart. He's not humble. You know, and then, you know, 5 minutes into the conversation, getting to know him, I was
maybe
like, oh,
a couple days.
Yeah. 5 days, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh man, that was a total misjudgment on my part. But that's how he came across, right? Mm-hmm. So,
and what a gift it is to say that to him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what was Matt and Liam and everybody? Because we went around the room and said, hey, what's a blind spot that we have helped one another uncover? So, what was yours, Karen?
Yes. Mine is, I come across as being cold initially, I think, when people meet me, because I'm so reserved growing up in Scandinavia. I just am maybe not that person who's going to necessarily just be gregarious or outgoing in the moment. So I'm very reserved and people might think I'm being a little standoffish. I have more than one. I have another one where I think sometimes I can come across as looking at someone being kind of disappointed in them, or like if you've let me down, you're probably going to know about it based on my facial expression.
Karen gets like than you intend.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, and mostly it's related to when someone has, I think I see a lot of potential in them and they haven't lived up to that potential in that moment. I get disappointed for them.
Right.
But it looks like I'm disappointed for me.
Right.
You know?
So Karen is probably the most compassionate and grace-filled person. Like, she gives
and
other
warm.
People grace.
Cold is not an adjective.
The exact opposite.
That, yeah.
And so I remember the day I told you, like, hey, you get this crinkle in your forehead, Karen. I call it the Norwegian crinkle that makes it look like you're like judging somebody and kind of harsh. And I remember you were like, what? And because you felt so bad. And it's like, no. And so now we talk about that.
Yep.
And what a great thing that everybody in the office can tell you that.
Botox fixed it.
And that's why our first commercial today is for Botox. Tracy, what was yours? What was your blind spot that you did not realize how you came across?
Yeah, I think for me, it was not vulnerable. A lot of people don't think that I'm real, that I'm a little uptight. And that is far from the truth. I mean, I really feel, because I'm reserved, similar to Karen, actually, we have the same types. Mm-hmm. I just come across as not vulnerable. And right. I remember the first time Cody had the conversation with me.
This is crazy to even talk about now, because it's like, it feels like we're totally in a different space. But for the first 18 months, maybe, that I worked here, I would go home sometimes and say to my wife, like, I don't think Tracy likes me, you know?
Yeah.
And now we're besties, you know, like we share a desk and a phone and like, you know, and we constantly are working together on all these projects. But for the longest time, and it was nothing that she said, that was what was so hard, is like, it was just that like level of demeanor that I interpreted wrong.
That's right.
And that's what the blind spot is. It's like, oh, this is a message you're sending that you have no intention of sending.
Right.
And so we had that conversation. I was like, hey, I know this is probably not what you, I know this is probably not true, but do you not like me? You
that's
know, like,
right. And that was such a gift to me. And I remember I had so much more respect for you after that conversation. And I think that that was kind of the turning point in our relationship, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, totally. And that's the thing. These very things that are slightly uncomfortable for about 30 seconds become huge opportunities for
absolutely.
For relief and for respect and for growing absolutely. In our relationships. But we just have to say, like, do you know how that look on your face comes across? Or do you know that when you talk like this, Cody, when I think I told you this one day, have I told you this yet? This might be a real time one. How sometimes when I call you at home, when you answer the phone, it sounds like you're like, oh man, what do you want?
Right. No, you haven't said that.
Oh, I haven't. Okay. I'm doing this in real time. And I know that, that's not the case.
Well, it's probably that one of my children is sleeping and I'm or my wife is trying to get a nap and I'm like, hello. And I'm not like, hey, Pat, how's it going?
Exactly.
A tiny home that like I can barely get out of the way. But yeah, that's great.
That's good feedback.
I never answer the phone when you call on the weekends. And I'm like, oh, great. Here's Pat again.
Right.
You
know. But it's always like, oh, hi, Pat. What do you want?
That's funny.
But it's these little things like this that can get in the way of relationships growing and people misinterpreting one another.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is you used to say, I want to start this business where—
Oh, yeah.
Where I love this. We just follow people around. Like you would, like for you, this would be your business. You would follow someone around and just give them, at the end of the day, give them a list of, here's what you need to work on.
Right.
Like,
okay, Bob, I followed you around. I watched you in all your meetings and you can be kind of a dickhead sometimes. I don't think you're aware of that. And over here, you make people feel like you don't want to talk to them and you really spend way too much time on the phone with people that you don't need to. Thank you very much. How much, what would that be worth if that were the case?
Totally.
Yeah. And that's so unemotional. And so there's nothing wrong with that. It's so great. Bob would love that.
Yeah.
Right.
I think sometimes we should set up secret cameras in our office. And not like on
creepy. No, I'm yeah.
Just in the bathroom. That's weird. That's weird. That's a joke. It's a joke. But and not know that it's there. So people go, do you want to see how you came across in that meeting or when you're talking to people? And I think it's at first kind of scary, but man, I would love to know.
Right.
Well, Zoom, just based on where we're at right now, Zoom has helped a little bit with that. And I think we've talked about this on previous podcasts.
You can see yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
It's kind of scary.
Exhausting too.
You know, my blind spot for years in my family, and it's still mortifying for me to think about this, but is that I have something that we call it
the face.
The face. The face.
Yes.
So I'll be in a meeting and inside I'm thinking, I'm frustrated that these people aren't understanding me. But the face communicates what, Karen?
You're a piece of crap.
And I'm about to fire all of you. No,
you're an idiot.
And my wife tells me the same thing. It's like, that face. I'm like, what? I'm just kind of frustrated by this. She goes, oh no, it feels like you want to punch me in the face. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh crap. And Matt, did I have the face sometimes as a dad? Yeah. But early on, luckily, people told me that. And I can go, hey, you guys, if I get that face, say, hey, get rid of the face. Mm-hmm. And we talk about
it. I haven't seen the face in a long time.
Oh, praise God for that.
Yes.
You're managing it well.
I'm managing the face.
Yes.
But you know how long it was that I wasn't? And that people were actually getting far more disdain from me than I was intending.
Well, and I think that's the point of this podcast. Like when we say, what is your blind spot? And then the very next thing we say, you don't know. You have to have people in your life, or at least invite this level of feedback. Like it is so valuable for every single person. And really what we need, we'd have better workplaces. We'd have better teams. Imagine if Tracy and I didn't have that conversation. We are in lockstep in our work now. Absolutely. That we would never have been if we just didn't have like this really tiny, it seems so large, but it's really not that. And I'll say,
yeah.
It was only a couple of weeks ago, I was with a team as like a guest just to like view their meetings. And I know many of the people that were on the team. Oh
yeah. Is this the church thing?
Yeah.
Oh, tell us about that. Yeah.
And in the middle of this meeting, I was just like, hey, I turned to one of the members of the team, and only because I was a guest and maybe they gave me a little bit more permission to like push on them a little bit, I felt comfortable doing this. And I said, and I gave feedback to this member and I was like, hey, you don't talk very much. And when you fail to tell your opinion, you are like, everyone looks to you as a leader, even though you don't have the formal authority as like the leader, but you are, you own your own business and you like, you,
he's a very impressive guy.
Yes. And I was like, when you fail to say what you're thinking, it gives everyone else the impression around the table that they don't have permission to be messy or wrong or, mm-hmm. or screw up. Like, nobody wants to screw up around you. And then as soon as I said that, one other guy on the team was like, yeah, you kind of intimidate me. And it was so, I'll tell you this, the every other member of that team was looking at me like, oh my gosh, what did you just do? You know,
you just said and that out said, loud.
And he said, wow, that's a pretty heavy like burden to bear. And I, and the public, like the general social cues that I'm getting are like, uh-oh, you crossed a line. Mm-hmm. We should all shut this down. And I said, no, this is good. How about, the only way I could get through the other side of the barrier was like, how about I go around and say what I think everybody else's is, the thing that they're doing that they might not be aware of. And only then were they like, okay, you know, but it was great. But I think the reason it doesn't happen is not enough people invite it. One.
Yes.
Not enough people say to other people, hey, I have blind spots. If you're seeing something that you think I'm not intending to communicate, please tell me. And two, people need to have that level of like, know that this is a service to people and have that little bit of courage to go, this probably isn't that big of a big deal. I'm just going to tell them.
Mm-hmm. I do think there's something also that relates to history with a person too. When I see something in a person, I should probably just call it out. But because I have a certain amount of history with them, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. And so I'm like, oh, well, they have good intentions, so I'm just not going to say anything because right. I know so what they mean.
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but not the benefit of the feedback.
That's right.
I do this all the time.
Right.
Nuts.
Not proud.
No, I know it. And it's interesting. Like I have a friend, I'm just thinking about this right now. I don't know if he's going to listen to the podcast, so I won't say his first name, but I think I need to tell him, hey, when I'm with you, you don't really ask me any questions and you're probably not doing that on purpose, but it makes me kind of feel like you don't think I have anything to teach you. Mm-hmm. Like I always ask you questions about stuff because I want to learn what you know, but you never do that to me. And I think he will be like, oh crap. Because he's a great guy. But every time I'm around him, I say to my wife when we're done, yeah, I don't think he thinks I have anything to offer.
Yeah.
And I think he would be like, man, if you told me that 5 years ago, I'd have stopped, but at least I'll do it now.
You know that phrase that you just said, this is where my gut goes, oh, you should lean in here, is if you have to use the phrase, oh, he's a great guy, and he's sending this message that he's not, you know, that's if you right. know someone and they're sending a message that is incongruous with who they are, that's the feedback you need to give them.
That's right.
Because this does not line up with right. the fact that you're a great guy.
And I knew Tracy was like, I knew you were a warm, caring, loving person. I was like, why do I feel this way? I need to just tell you. And Pat, when you got up in front, I was like, I know Pat's not trying to be condescending in any way, but so I should just tell him.
Right.
That's right.
Well, that's a gift that you have. And it's a gift you inspire in us. I think I do it too better with clients sometimes than I do with the people I work with because I can be a bit of a wuss. But Cody, what's yours?
Yes. Oh, this is great. You all have given me this feedback. There was a couple that I got. The first was earlier on when I worked here is I do like exploration idea, like discernment stuff out loud, but pretty demonstrably.
So it sounds like I already know the answer
right.
and you're just throwing it against the wall.
I'm brainstorming and everyone's like, how are you so confident? And I'm like, oh, I'm not. There's no part of me. I'm just thinking about ideas and throwing them all
out. In fact,
there.
If somebody gives you a counter idea that in 10 seconds, you will change your mind.
Yeah. Oh, it gives my wife whiplash. She'll be like, I'll be arguing and then she'll present a better idea. And I'm like, actually, no, you're right. And she's like, no, I'm not done with you.
No, really, I changed my mind.
But it does sound, so the feedback I got from you guys is, hey, you need to tell us when you're, we now have better language.
Wait, no, wait, what did Amy say?
Well, she said, you're cocky. She said, but I know you're not on the inside. Right. That's what she did.
That's right.
So, but that was actually a Jahari Window type moment where it's like, oh, she knows I'm humble, but I'm presenting as someone who's like, I know all the answers. I'm telling people what the answers are. And so she gave me feedback. And now I'm like, I have to now, as I'm brainstorming and you guys are nodding as I'm saying this, I always say, hey guys, I'm discerning right now. I'm not galvanizing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we have the right answer. I'm actually just like, when I brainstorm, it sounds like I'm pretty definitive.
And that was an insight you got from the Working Genius.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because it's like, oh yeah, we do that all the time now. I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. So this leads though to the fact that, and we've talked about this earlier last year, about the fact that we all have rapper names in our company. Like,
yes, and it started to you or Laura, actually.
To my wife. Because Laura said, you're a little harsh, aren't you? And I said, that was like my face. It's harsh. And she said, that should be your rapper name, Lil Harsh. And I was like, that's really funny. Kind of pisses me off. And I laughed and I said, you know, everybody has rapper names. So we came to work and we updated our rapper names. So this is the thing that you often do that you're not aware of.
Yeah, like the resting posture of your demeanor that you're sending a message that you don't intend to send.
So Cody's rapper name is?
Lil Cocky.
Lil Cocky. You're a little cocky, aren't you? Oh, I guess I am. Pat's a little harsh. Of course, someday yesterday I said, my new rapper name is Little Less Harsh because I'm working on it.
That's right.
I was really proud of that. Karen is...
A little disappointed.
A little disappointed.
Still.
That's right.
Still. Yeah.
Yours hasn't changed.
Tracy is a little tense.
A little tense, yes.
Because sometimes she has this like, I'm really frustrated. And it's like, no, she's not.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Matt is a little spacey.
A little spacey.
Because it looks like he's spacing out. And those are just the five people in the room. We don't need to out everybody else's, I guess.
No, but we did want to say, I thought it would be fun because if people are listening to this and you're like, I've been given some feedback or people have done this for me in my career, in my life, in my home, we want to hear what your rapper name might be. If you have one or if you think like, hey, this is one message that I constantly get.
And you know what I would really love? I think a team should go sit down and say, listen to this or talk about this and just say, is there something you do or communicate that you might not be aware of? Mm-hmm. And I think, and it's funny, people sitting around a table can go, you know, I bet you don't really know that you come across that way. And then generate, I would love to see a team that had that. I'd love to see a whole team do it too.
Yeah.
That would be great. So we want to know, I want stories about successful removal of blind spots where people helped one another take things out of their Jahari window.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And move it into that public space.
That's right.
And then maybe whatever rapper names come out of that.
And know that it's a gift. It's not, you should lean into this because it's so wonderful to get that feedback from others.
It can change your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can change your life. Hey, we want to thank everybody. Of all the different ways that we've communicated the Working Genius model, we have over 30,000 people that have taken that model.
That's nuts.
And the feedback we're getting is beyond anything we could have expected. Mm. But the biggest group of people that have done it, podcast listeners.
Yeah, ours.
This podcast.
Yeah.
And so we want to thank you for that. We love getting your feedback. If you can share that with other people, we really appreciate it. We just want to say thanks for being so participative in that.
Yep.
And so I think that's the end of our podcast today. I want to thank everybody for being here. And we will talk to you all next week on At the Table. God bless.